Welcome to Campus Stories. This is a 10-part series which examines non-traditional routes to third-level education. This programme series was funded by the Higher Education Authority and Wired FM. It is produced and presented by Chloe Liddy Judge and Damien O'Brien. In this programme, we look at travellers accessing third-level education. Recent figures published by Pavi Points suggest that there are approximately 13 travellers attending university in Ireland at the moment. We wanted to find out why the numbers are so low. We spoke to Margaret Casey, who is herself a traveller. She has attended third level education and now works with her community.
My name is Margaret Casey. I work with the Tipperary Rural Travel Project as a project coordinator.
Margaret told us exactly what her job entails.
My job is to manage the project. It is to coordinate all the services providers and the travellers to come together in relation to look at the social issues. It's to manage a primary healthcare programme where we have 17 traveller women on that programme to be trained to be primary healthcare workers who will actually work with their own community in the near future. And it's to kind of, you know, build their whole confidence in terms of, you know, how they can achieve education and training in a culturally appropriate manner in order to be able to do a job. But one of my beliefs is in any community, whether it's travellers or settled, you need to work with all different genders within a community. So I think the other side of it is where Tipperary Rural Travel Project, you know, started to look at, okay, we need to work with traveller men as well, you know, in order to create that change for the whole community. So what we did is we set it up a men's project. We went out to the sites, I went out to the sites and started asking the men what they wanted, you know. And they were saying, you know, maybe get our provisional license, maybe learn how to read and write and stuff like that. So at the moment what they're doing is they're getting their provisional license through the computer by trying to learn the computer, do their theory test off the computer. And also they're doing a health and fitness VTEC module. So they're being educated in terms of literacy and how the body works and stuff like that. And then they're attending the gym on top of that, you know. And that's, you know, it's 12 months down the line now, you know, in terms of, and actually the confidence that's grown within the men, it's, you know, what can I say, it's a phenomenon in a way, because, you know, it's actually, you know, working with the both sides. And often I think men are forgotten about, you know. Even myself, being a traveller woman, I would have been very woman orientated for years and years, and then I had to, you know, take a step back and say, okay, the women are struggling for the change and the men are feeling so disempowered, and it's creating issues within the community. So we need to actually look in terms of working with men. And then, you know, the project had to look in terms of youth, because youth is a huge issue, you know, in terms of these kids are our future, you know. So we had to look at, you know, how we're going to work with these kids. Now we're very little, we have very little resources, you know. There's just myself as a project manager, I have a development worker that works with the primary healthcare project, and I've been a administrator for 10 hours a week. And I have two CE workers who are travellers who I'm training alongside me, you know. So it's a lot of development work, a lot of, you know, side by side. It's a job within itself, you know, because you're challenging the girls, you're pushing them, you know, you're trying to build up their expectations. expectations of themselves, and you're trying to create that atmosphere where they can actually learn. So that's the job in itself, you know. But then I, you know, decided that after a year that we needed to give them some work to do, you know, and one of the things was that we sat down, we planned and organised the youth group, whereas now we have a youth group that runs one day a week over the next, you know, year, and it looks at kind of, you know, travel children and education, what it's like for them in the education system, and what supports, you know, in terms of homework support, and you know, getting them to look at themselves as travellers, as an ethnic minority group, and what that mean.
We asked her about the numbers of travellers in third level education.
In terms of looking at travellers in third level education, you know, I think there's about 9 of us across the country who has went to third level education who actually acknowledge themselves as travellers. I think it is at least 7 travellers out there, you know, that doesn't acknowledge themselves as travellers and have been through the education system and third level education. But the people that doesn't acknowledge themselves as travellers are no use to the travel community, because they're in denial of who they are. Now, I can understand why, you know, to secure themselves, to put a safe boundaries around them so that they won't be discriminated, so they won't have to, you know, work harder at their professionalism because of their ethnicity, you know, and their culture and stuff like that.
We also asked her about what kinds of work the travellers who have attended third level education are doing.
I think the travellers that have been through the third level education has, you know, given a tremendous amount of work to the, you know, the travel community. You know, it has really seen, you know, the light and stuff like that, you know, in terms of education is the way forward. We need to educate our people, and we need to get a bit more organised in terms of the way we're taught and stuff like that. Now, at the moment, we have one Ballinster who is actually a traveller, and that's David Joyce. And I think, you know, himself as a role model to us is like the amount of achievement we feel as a community, because he is actually, you know, being our first Ballinster who is a traveller, and, you know, is very proud of who he is, you know, and actually is a tremendous person, you know, in person alone. And that's a huge, you know, it's having a huge impact on travellers, you know, because, as I said, you know, it's got to be about belief, you know. And I think, you know, some settled people that work with travellers do believe that travellers can achieve the goals in life that they want.
We also talked to a lecturer in Mary Immaculate College.
My name is Michael Breen. I'm the head of Media and Communication Studies, and I am also currently the chair of the Access Committee, which has responsibility for enabling access for students from disadvantaged backgrounds, from mature students, from students with a disability, and for travellers and refugees.
We asked him if there are any travellers in Mary Immaculate at the moment.
There are, yes. We've had travellers here in the past as well. And we currently have applications under consideration for travellers into the BEd programme for the first time.
Michael Breen told us why there is a specific access route for travellers.
The whole purpose of a specific access route in these circumstances is to counteract existing disadvantage, wherever the disadvantage occurs. And when disadvantage occurs socially, we acknowledge that and we create a special route. There is a widespread recognition across the educational sector that travellers are doubly disadvantaged, both in terms of their access to general education and their experience of social exclusion. The route that we have in place is one that allows travellers to apply to the college for access to its programmes under specific conditions in which they must meet the minimum requirements, and we would consider then their suitability for the courses after that.
He also told us why he thought there were so few travellers in third level education.
We have, I suppose, as a country, for the most part, forgotten about the travellers. They are regarded by most people as unimportant or unwanted, and certainly unnecessary. Traveller mortality rates are higher than the general population, infant mortality rates. Only 2% of travellers live to see their 65th birthday. Only 1% of travellers live to see their 70th birthday. Traveller women suffer from a huge range of health problems, not least of which arise as a matter of lack of access to quality sanitation. We've done very little about this over the years, and we still have the gall in the mass media to paint the problem as though it were the travellers, rather than the failure of the settled community to respond to traveller need, indeed a need which has to be responded to on a statutory basis and has still been neglected. Most recently, I think the case of that is how the situation of travellers in Ennis has been recorded in the newspapers. We have a public opinion that goes against travellers. We have a mass media that represents travellers in a highly negative way. We have a legislative framework that does not recognise that the killing of a traveller, the willful killing of a traveller, was sufficiently outrageous as to be regarded as murder, instead regarded as manslaughter. This is problematic. When you apply that to the educational sector, travellers don't have access to education because of their nomadic lifestyles. We have not adequately responded to that. We have not put sufficient supports in place to ensure that travellers come through the national school system and move well into the secondary school system and therefore have access to the tertiary level system. The reality is that if you don't get through the first through, you can't get into the tertiary level system. And we've never adequately responded to that, because for most people, travellers don't matter, and that is a national disgrace.
We asked him if he thought the college was doing enough to assist travellers in accessing Mary Immaculate.
I suppose in one way, you know, to say to somebody, well, you did your best, is kind of damning with faint praise. I think the college is doing a very good job. The people on the Access Committee are incredibly dedicated to the task. And I think I'd want to pay special tribute to the work of John Cody in this regard, who is the funding manager, in terms of his support over the years. I think he's done an extraordinarily good job in helping us in that regard. More can always be done. And the college is suffering from a legacy of a lack of infrastructural development, a lack of infrastructural investment, a problem of being squeezed for space, a lack of offices, and a freeze in the public sector in terms of hiring. All of those things impact upon access. We don't have a dedicated access office. We don't have sufficient personnel in the access route. Nicola is doing an extraordinary job in terms of meeting the needs of a wide number of people, and yet she has huge numbers to cope with. We don't have sufficient funds, because we're not adequately funded, to pour into the public campaign that's needed for access. But insofar as resources allow, I think the college is doing more than its best.
A lot of problems related to travellers accessing further education begin in primary school. Margaret Casey mentioned that she believes that traveller children do better in middle-class schools. We asked her to explain this to us.
Yes, and I think there's a couple of things to state that as well, you know. And one of the things, you know, we all know where there's disadvantaged schools. You know, they're not disadvantaged schools. The area is excluded from society. You know, there's kids, you know, there's problems within these communities, you know, social problems. And like the traveller community has social problems as well. So often because of the social problems that go on that area, the settled kids are attending that school. You know, there's issues of behaviour, there's issues of, you know, social issues, as I say. And often the troubled child because of the difficulties that it's been used, you know, that the teacher has to deal with on a daily basis, which is tough and it's challenging, and I can't, you know, sincerely can understand, you know, how difficult job it is for that teacher. But the troubled child even gets blown out to the back completely, you know, because of that as well, you know, and they're really left behind, you know. And if it's a middle class school, often what happens is because, you know, there are no social problems, you know, the kids probably have issues, which every parent, I think, no matter what background you come from, there are issues. But, you know, there's an expectation of the school, the parents, that their kids are in there to be educated. And the troubled child often comes out better from that system.
We asked her if she thought the travellers' expectations of education were too low.
I think there's a couple of things, you know. First of all, if you look at any human person within society, a person needs to be sheltered, they need to have a home over their head, they need to have enough money on the table to be able to feed and clothe, they need to have, you know, employment, they need to have a level of education before they can come to that term of supporting and having an expectation of education. So there's a lot of factors behind that, you know, in terms of travellers and settled, you know. Everybody needs to have, you know, that kind of security.
We also asked Margaret Casey if she thought teachers received an adequate level of training in order to understand traveller culture.
Well, they get one day, I think it's 3 hours of training in order to be trained to understand everything about traveller culture and teaching the traveller child. Well, I think since that seriously needs to be looked at, you know, 2 hours of training and you're not prejudiced and you're going to know everything about the traveller community, that's not good enough either, you know. You need people that are going to, you know, sincerely work through a module that will be delivered like religion is delivered to teachers, like the way you teach English in a primary school, this is how it's delivered. So seriously think about, okay, you're going to have a specific module where you're going to, you know, teach in terms of ethnic minority groups, including travellers, asylum seekers, Nigerian people, you know, all other ethnic minority groups. And that should be a whole specific module over them 3 years in itself, in its own right, you know, rather than 2 hours and you are an exchange person. And we all know that don't happen. That comes with a lifelong learning. And we are all, you know, we're all embedded with our own prejudice and racism, no matter what walk of life we come from. And I think that needs to actually change, you know. And if there's, if the system is serious about wanting change in terms of outcomes for the people that are so excluded from society, they really need to sit down and do real consultation.
Margaret told us how important it is for travellers to qualify as teachers.
I think it's so important. I think it will happen. And I think it will have a huge contribution to Irish society. I think it will, you know, reverse the embedded racism and prejudice that the settled have of travellers. And I think, you know, it will deliver an education that will build the expectations of traveller children, and it has a huge contribution to a classroom, to a school and to a society. You know, and we need to be seriously talking about that stuff. You know, a couple of years ago, travellers were unsure about what they wanted and where they were going. Now they are sure, and it's, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we need to be talking about. And it needs to be people who are seriously want to bring about change for the traveller community. But the one thing, travellers cannot do it on their own. They need the settler community to support them and do it with them, because the settled had the power within Irish society.
We asked Michael Breen the same question.
I think that goes without saying, but I think I'd want to put that in a much wider context. I would think that by and large, our educational sector in this country is, for the most part, representative of an elite. And that elite is a middle class elite. If you look, for example, at the B.Ed cohort across the colleges of education, for the most part, they come from middle class type backgrounds.
We asked Michael Breen if he thought there needed to be a nationwide policy regarding travellers' access to third level education.
The reality, I suppose, is, as I say, that colleges represent elitist interests for the most part, whether we want to acknowledge them or not. That's the reality of third level life. Very often, change in institutions like universities will only come about when it's absolutely required or mandated. The National Disability Authority, the creation of the National Access Routes, things like the National Framework are all contributing to that. And colleges are recognising they have no choice now but to do this. And the change will come, but it comes creeping slow. But I think things are getting better. I think there is a need for greater cohesion in terms of the college's approach collectively, and ahead, that agency will be particularly useful in that regard.
We asked Margaret Casey if third level institutions are doing enough to encourage travellers to attend.
I think they're trying. I think they want to, but I think the whole politics and the whole how you go through the channels of the system, I think it's very difficult for them to overcome that. And I think that's seriously, they need to have a chat amongst themselves first before, you know, they talk about inviting, you know, travellers into the system or any other economic minority groups. They need to look at the challenge of the system that they're in at the moment. But, you know, there's people that are fantastic in Mary Eye and do want to, you know, create change in terms of education. But, you know, there's two things. First of all, they need to look at themselves in terms of, you know, how that system needs to change if they're serious about, you know, wanting travellers in the college. And they need, you know, they need to have that chat first. And then they need to, you know, be in contact with traveller organisations in terms of real consultation. So, yeah, you know, I had a good experience of working with Mary Eye, but I don't think it's good enough anymore to welcome travellers into a system where, you know, it's not sincere, you know, because it's building people's expectations up again and then saying, oh, sorry, but you can only come this far, you know, and that's unfair to do to anybody.
She also told us about her goals for the future.
And I think, you know, in terms of my work and the you know, the passion that I have for education, one of the things that I'm hoping to do is, you know, build an external support to the classroom and to the traveller parents. And that's what it would look like, is that, you know, that we would meet the kids 3 times a week. And in that classroom, that, you know, it wouldn't be a classroom, it'd be homework setting. You would build the traveller children's expectations about who they are, about their identity, their culture. You'd build their expectations in terms of being, you know, wanting that education and they can get it. So you'd actually put a dream in their head and you'd actually, you know, get them to believe in themselves. So they'd be able to go back into the classroom and be confident about who they are, and what they're about, and they want the education. But second of all, that you would build up, you know, an external support where if literacy was an issue, that you would build in that support as well, or if it was maths or if it was Irish, so that you'd have qualified people that I would work alongside, teachers, you know, that we'd have 3 teachers, and it would work with a pilot project over 3 years where you'd have a you know, three teachers. One would be, you know, to be able to deliver the history, or not history, sorry, English, and that would include literacy, spelling, all that kind of stuff. The second would be that you'd have an Irish teacher in there to build in that external support. And third of all, then you would have somebody to do maths. So that the travellers would be getting the three main subjects and it would be double support. Now, there's awful loads of homework clubs, but this is different than a homework club. It's an external support, in my view, to the education system that is already there at the moment. It's a short-term plan, but I think it has a huge contribution to make to the school. And I think also what you do is create a space, you know, once every 2 weeks where you bring traveller parents in and you'd have that chat, and maybe you'd involve, you know, the teachers that work with the kids, and, you know, you'd kind of create that space where the barriers and the fear of travellers meeting the teachers meeting the travellers, that, you know, that would be ironed out. Now, I know I get a lot of criticism for setting up this kind of farm, because they'd say, you know, a lot of people would disagree with me in terms of saying it's very segregation and, you know, it should be integration and stuff like that. But I think it is, you know, settled kids are very welcome to it, but it will be on travellers' terms, you know, because it's very designed and planned to deliver Cant language, to look at the whole language of travellers, to look at them, you know, issues internally in terms of being travellers, boy, girl, culture stuff, and then to build their expectations about education and to put dreams in their head and to give them the extra support in terms of literacy, maths, Irish, you know. And it would be, you know, go along with the system that are already being taught at the moment. But I really think there could be a huge amount of outcomes for it. You know, we're not going to have primary school teachers for another while. I also think the institutions need to sincerely look at putting in scholarship funds for travellers. And, you know, by working with community development projects like ourselves, could, like one of the institutions, just naming it, Mary I could, you know, start off with putting in two scholarship funds and working with community development projects and say that, you know, that they'd work with a child from sixth class who wants to go on to third level education and who wants to be a teacher, and work with that child until it gets to a level of being able to access third level education to become a primary school teacher. And I think that's the kind of change I'm talking about.
This programme is part of a 10-part series funded by the Higher Education Authority and Wired FM. We would like to thank everyone who participated in this programme and to wish them well in the future. This programme was produced and presented by Damien O'Brien and Chloe Liddy-Judge.